Gone Boss Podcast. I'm your host, Matt Howell.
And I'm your host, Angie Rogers Howell.
What is the Gone Boss Podcast?
Well, it's a weekly podcast featuring awesome people in our community. We'll interview them, find out what makes them tick, the cool things they're doing to make our community a great place to live and work, and how they've gone boss.
Interact with us on Facebook and Instagram just by searching Gone Boss.
Now sit back, relax, and find out who has
gone boss. With me, I have Dr. Bina Joseph of Open Door Health Services. How are you doing today?
Great. Thank you for having me.
Very good. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I was born and brought up in the East Coast, born in New Jersey.
A Jersey girl.
Yes. Well, sorry. It was only 6 months of my life.
Okay.
But most of the time was in Connecticut. Of course, I'm from India. My parents were from India, so they immigrated to the States in the 60s.
Okay.
My dad was a family doctor in Connecticut. So I did all my schooling and everything. And then my dad was a family doctor, so after school, I would be sitting in his office. It was attached to our house. So I did a lot of his receptionist duties and nurse duties for him. And I guess that's what drove me to medicine.
So he had you working at a young
age. Yes,
huh?
He did. Every day after school without fail.
Now, what do you do there at Open Door Health?
So Open Door Health Services, I'm a pediatrician, general peds, seeing newborns to age 18, and I'm also deputy chief medical officer for the organization, so a lot of administrative duties and support for the providers there.
All right. Now, how did you get from Connecticut working in your dad's office to here in Muncie, Indiana? What did that journey look like?
Oh, so that journey was, long and varied, went to medical school in India, actually. Finished my training there. I got married in the last year of med school. It was an arranged marriage, which is very typical of Indian families. Came back to the U.S., did my residency in New York City for pediatrics. My husband had just finished his fellowship in nephrology, so he's also a physician, and he got recruited. There was an opening here at Ball Hospital for a nephrologist, and we said, okay, what the heck, we'll just go take a look and see what the Midwest is about.
And how long ago was that?
That was in 2000, so it's going to be 24 years.
Oh my gosh.
Been here in Muncie, yeah.
And so what's kept you here?
So I guess the first thing was when I said to my family, oh, we're moving to Indiana, they were surprised. They didn't even know where Indiana was. They've never sort of had that concept. One family member, do you need a passport, is a question they asked.
Oh, wow.
Me.
Yeah.
So that's how limited.
People from Kentucky do.
Yes.
Nobody. No, I'm just kidding.
So we came here, and there was a good we really need a lot of family support. I had two young kids, but there was a good Indian community, which really sort of has acted as our sort of family and support system. And I think that's what's kept us here, as well as the community itself. You know, New Yorkers and East Coast people are different than our Midwest.
I was going to ask you about the New York time period in your life. What was that like? That would be in the 90s, right?
Yes, in the 90s. I trained in the city. Midtown Manhattan population was different. Even the people that you work with are totally different. They're very go-getters and very
rude.
Not saying that, but the surprising thing is when I came here to Muncie and I was going to, it used to be called Marsh, right? The supermarket. The guy was taking my grocery cart and bringing it to the car, and I was like, what is he doing? Is he stealing my groceries? I didn't realize that was a service.
Yeah.
And I thought I had to pay him because you don't get anything for free in the East Coast. So I was like wondering, do I tip him? And he's like, no, I'm just doing it for you. Thought you needed some help. And so that sort of totally different sort of mentality of helping others and being kind and looking you in your face and speaking to you. Nobody in New York, when you walk down the street, will look at your face. Everybody's sort of really driven, right? People,
yeah,
they don't
driven
have time.
In their own space.
Yes, they don't have time for others, I think. That's a generalization. I don't want to say it to you. All New Yorkers are going to get upset with me. But
now, I've got you growing up on the East Coast, but you said you went back to India for education and training. of things. Tell me about that. What was that decision like? And how old were you at the time?
Yeah,
and what about your parents? Did they stay or did they go with?
So no, they didn't. They stayed here. My dad was very sort of like, if he came in the 60s and there wasn't a lot of Indians in the East Coast at all. So it was really a very difficult time for him as well, you know, having no real support system at all. And so his rule was that you have to speak our native language when after school. After you enter the house, you have to speak the native language. English you could speak at school. And so he was really very cognizant about culturally being aware of where we are from. So okay. We used to go back summers, spend the whole summers in India. So
a lot of family back there.
Okay. Yeah. So it wasn't sort of like I was going to a foreign country. It felt like home as well.
Yeah. Now, what part of India?
So it's in the southern tip. India's like shaped like a pizza.
Yep.
And we're like at the very tip part of it, South okay. India. Kerala is the state.
So stayed with family?
So no, I was in a dorm.
Oh, you were in a
totally
dorm.
Different city. But, you know.
Now, what's your age at this point? Are you like 18, 19?
So it was right after high school, 18, 19. Okay. Yeah. So med school there is right after high school.
Okay.
You choose what you want to do right after the high school period. So it's about 5.5, 6 years about. Is like an accelerated medical degree. So, yeah, I was in a dorm setting, and it was not a huge adjustment. Maybe different things were, it was different. Like test taking was different. Mm-hmm. The studying and, you know, how they did things was a little different. But
any connections still there? Any friends
from college
that you stay in touch with?
Yes. A huge group, a Facebook group. And I go back and visit and see all my friends. And some of them are here in the States, too, who came after training. So, yeah, we have a good relationship with all my friends there.
Now, just because I'm not a world traveler, how long does it take to get from the U.S. over there?
Oh, gosh. So it's like if you go from Indy to Chicago, and then it's at least 24 hours of travel time.
Okay.
About 18 hours sort of flying, and then, you know, stops and all. So it's about a whole day. You waste a whole day traveling, getting to point A to point B, so... Yeah.
Right. So tell me about your work here in Muncie and maybe some of the groups you're involved in.
Yeah, sure. So I was here in private practice as a pediatrician here in town when I first came, and then went to a community health center setting in Indianapolis. So I was deputy CMO there. That really brought me into the FQHC, or Federally Qualified Health Center space. And I had to do a lot of traveling from Indy. I was working in Kokomo and Peru and Logansport and Marion. And I was traveling a lot.
All around Indiana.
Yes, all around. We had clinics all over. And I would serve as pediatrician and fill in and things like that when they had vacancies and things like that. So the travel became much.
Mm-hmm.
So I came back to work here in town. And, of course, Open Door is celebrating its 50th anniversary this year, 50 years of being in this community and serving the community. And so that was a big draw. So it was natural that I, you know, wanted to come back and join Open Door for sure. So started as just a pediatrician and then needed some other provider administrative support. And so I stepped into that role.
Yeah. Now, I've asked you what's kept you here in Muncie mm-hmm. and everything. So what's kept you at Open Door?
I guess Open Door's mission is always, and community health centers' missions in general, is to serve a population that is very needy. There's a lot of low health literacy. There's a lot of health needs. There's a lot of social determinants of health barriers for communities that have community health centers in it for that purpose. So I think it's the mission of serving the underserved is really a big key focus in my mind, as well as it aligns well with Open Door of how they want to serve, and they have been serving for decades. So,
tell me about some of the kids. You work with kids all the time.
Oh, yeah. So that's my saving grace. That's what keeps me sort of young and happy, too. The administrative side has its own challenges, right? So the clinical aspect is my saving grace, I think. I love my clinic days, my newborns and my babies and my kids. When they get teenagers, it becomes a little bit harder to manage. But my clinic days are basically filled with well visits. Preventative care is our pediatrics is basically about preventative care. So it's a lot of anticipatory guidance and educating parents and kids of healthy lifestyles and to lead a really fruitful life. So I really enjoy my patient care the most.
No, I think the most recent time I remember running into you has been at the Women in Business Unlimited Athena Awards. Right. You had a whole group with
yes,
you. Tell
yes.
me about them.
So those are like sort of my sisters here. So like I said, you know, we don't have a family here. So all of us are sort of in that same boat. There's about 50 to 60 Indian families in the community. A lot of them work and live here. A lot live outside of Muncie, but still work here in Muncie. So we share the same sort of things. And so we get together every, you know, few months. We have a little sort of an association. We do cultural programs. We do potluck dinners. We do different things. And we support each other just like a family would. So, yeah, so all of my sort of sisters came and supported me that day at a table full of them.
A little more serious question. How is Muncie, Delaware County doing with a population that's not white Caucasian?
So I think from the time I came here in 2000, like I went to the supermarket and I couldn't find cilantro anywhere. It was nowhere to be found. And then you'd have to go to Meijer and you'd have to order its special order. So that was all, that was sort of like something that I thought was very natural that everybody uses. But at that time, it wasn't. And,
no,
now,
and now it's hard to keep on the shelf. I've been to these grocery stores.
Right.
And,
so
yeah.
Now the diversity of even things that you can find locally is just has expanded over the decades that I've been here. So. And, you know, as when we first came initially, we were trying to find our place in the community. And, you know, a lot of people maybe didn't have an idea of what a brown person was, right? Or where are they coming from? What are their religion? Are they? They really didn't have an idea. So a lot of our Indian Association, we did a lot of community programs here in town. We called it the Glimpse of India. We did about 3 or 4 fundraisers, had an Indian dinner, cultural program, and we supported, let's say, Moms, Bewley Center, IUPs Rehab, Prevent Child Abuse, and we'd raise money for those sort of local community things, too, but as well as inviting people into our sort of space, too. And it took off. We had, at one dinner, it was 350 people, and there was a wait list and couldn't get in. So, you know, things grew, and I think the perspective of people in town also grew.
What is that connection between food and community that, you know, that you're talking about right there? But, I mean, especially Indian food, like I'm in love with it and everything, but I didn't grow up on it.
Right.
And when I asked my parents, who, you know, weren't exposed to much of anything, they can remember when they first had a taco.
Mm-hmm.
Like that didn't exist in the diet back then. So tell me about that.
So yeah, food I think is a great connector, right? Everybody can connect it because everyone has to eat.
And yes.
So everybody is sort of open to, I'm not saying everybody, a lot of people are open to trying new things. And so I think here in town we have one Indian restaurant, but you know, and that was unheard of at that time. We'd have to go to Indianapolis to get any Indian food or groceries or anything. So
We've come a long way,
really. Really, we have. And so we used to even have a small Indian store, but they shut down a few years ago. So we even had a little Indian store. But I think food is a great connector. It's a first taste of, like, what is India? It's maybe something that's more palatable, in a sense, mentally also, for a person to say, oh, okay, what is this? You know, and let me try it. And let me hear about yourself. So that's a good opening to get, I think.
Yeah. Have you run into any discrimination being here in Indiana? And
so really in my experience here in Indiana, no, not really. Yes, in New York, even though there was a lot of diversity, you know, even during training in New York City, I was an Asian, I was a brown, I was a female. And the old boys network is very strong there, and especially in the medical community. And so as a resident, I had struggled because they would treat our male residents differently than our female, and that alone that you're brown too. So that was a challenging period at that time that I didn't really realize. I guess I grew up in a little bit of a sheltered sort of environment, I guess. And so that was sort of eye-opening. But then when I came to Indiana, I really didn't feel, they were more curious than judgmental, I think. And I think that's the true spirit of, like, a Hoosier, I think, you know, that they really are sort of like, oh, who are you? What are you? And they'd ask questions, right? And they didn't really care. They just really wanted to know. And so wouldn't take offense to that.
Now, as you mentioned, your father was also in the medical community back then. What about him? Does he ever talk about that?
So he passed away about 20 years ago, and He struggled, of course, because there was nobody else. And we knew, I think, every Indian family in New York, New Jersey, Connecticut.
Oh, so wow.
If you think about it, now it's in the it's in the hundreds of thousands of people. And he was really about, you know, he was sort of similar. I guess maybe my background of trying to do community events was from him. He would organize an Indian association. He would cater food. He would make my mom cook all the food and call people over. And he had a lot of celebrities, too, in his clientele in New York. So we met quite a few people through him because they were interested in him. And he was an interesting person, too.
Can you give me any names?
Sean and Yoko Ono.
Okay.
The guy from Kiss, the band. The Rockefellers. Mimi Rockefeller was one. James Brown, the musician. Yeah, so we had a lot celebrities. They would come up in their limousines because the clinic was in our house. Portion of our house was the office. They would come up in their limousine, and we would be looking out the window, me and my sister looking at the limo and wondering who's there today. So
I was just going to ask you, do you have any siblings? Yeah. You mentioned a sister.
Yeah, she's in Columbus, Ohio. Yeah, just me and my sister. Yeah.
What does she do?
She is a vice president for Chase Bank, so she's in the business sort of realm.
Okay.
Yeah.
What do you like to do for fun?
Fine, I guess me and my husband travel quite a lot, so if we have time or vacation.
Yeah, 24 hours on a plane.
Yeah, so shorter places than that, yeah. India, we try to go once a year, definitely, to see family. He has a lot of family and nephews and aunts and uncles, so we do go to India. But we try to do one trip somewhere for at least 2 weeks. So last one, we went to Japan. And the next one, we'll go to Amsterdam and see if there's the windmills and tulips time. So, yeah, we travel a lot. So I think that's a big one. He also has an RV that he bought during COVID. And so we tend to go to national parks. That's his thing. So we've covered about 54 national parks.
Wow.
The last three
years. You are busy traveling.
Yeah.
My goodness.
So he's busy. He loves it. I just sit in the back.
What advice would you give a young person just starting out?
I guess starting out and professionally speaking, I think, is really to understand what your life goals are, your mindset, if it is service. So mine was service. It always has been that. So I think understanding what your purpose will drive you down the road of what you really want to achieve and do well at, right? If you need a passion in life. And if there is no passion, I think it's just a job, right? And it's not sustaining. It won't sustain you internally. So I think that would be the first thing, really figuring out who you are and what you really want to do.
So what's your favorite band or artist?
I do listen to a lot of K-Love. I'm a Christian, so it's really unusual that people will say, oh, you're from India, aren't they all Hindus? Don't they worship the cow? And
yeah, we
like
should
that.
Talk about that. What? How did that come about?
Yeah, the southern tip of India is where St. Thomas came after Jesus' crucifixion to spread the good word. So there was a Jewish population in that southern tip of our state, and these were Jewish settlers that left Israel years before. So he was assigned to that region. So all the disciples went to different areas. Ethiopia had somebody else. So he came to India, St. Thomas, Doubting Thomas, and he spread Christianity there. And so generationally from that period of time, my family has been Christian. And so that southern tip of India is a very big population of Christian families.
Very interesting.
Yeah,
I wouldn't have guessed it or anything like that.
So I listen to a lot of K-Love, Christian music. Yeah,
usually. Yeah, well, what's a favorite artist on?
Lauren Daigle,
Francesca
Battistelli, Mercy Me, yeah, Micah Tyler. Yeah, so I listen to everything, really.
Are you an early bird or a night owl?
Early bird. Yeah, I get up at 5 in the morning. At
5
least.
In the morning?
Yes.
Oh, my gosh.
Early to
I'm
bed,
not that
too.
Early yet. I'm getting there. No.
Yeah.
Do you have a favorite book?
The most recent book, I guess it is because it is culturally significant, was Covenant of Water by Dr. Abraham Varghese. So she was on the Oprah's best list. He's written other books, too, but this was really very specific to our state, specifically, and the Christian family in that community. So it reminded me a lot of my grandmother and my visits to India. It's a huge, massive book, but it's an amazing book, Covenant of Water. Yeah, it's my favorite so far.
Do you have a guilty pleasure?
Oh, gosh. Shopping, probably.
Shopping.
Shopping too much, maybe. I do read a lot, but shopping.
What do you shop for?
Oh, goodness. You're putting me on the spot here. I don't want my husband to know.
Are you into shoes, purses?
Shoes, bags, purses, yeah. Okay. All of the above. Yeah.
Gotcha, gotcha. Do you have a favorite movie?
So we usually see a lot of Indian movies. So that is like a huge industry in itself. Every language in India has their own movie, Hollywood, basically. So there is like so much. So we don't have much time. So it's evenings and weekends. I probably see more Indian movies than anything.
Did you ever see that movie RRR?
Yes.
Oh my God.
Yes, over
that
the
thing
top.
Was
did
amazing.
You see, yes. Did you see it? Okay.
Oh, yes.
Those are the typical musicals, and there's everything all wrapped up in one, right?
Exactly. Everything was wrapped up in that movie. So yeah. If you get a chance, watch that.
Yes.
Star Wars or Star Trek?
Oh, neither. I'm not a sci-fi person.
Not a sci-fi person at all.
I hate sci-fi. Sorry.
Well, thank you so much for coming in today and talking about this.
Well, thank you so much for inviting me. It's fun.
So we had an astronomical event happen
recently. Yes.
I'm sure people are sick of hearing about
the eclipse.
But we are going to talk about it because we are going to tell you about our experience with the eclipse.
Exactly. Now, I have to say right now, I am glad it is over because I was so sick. That's the only thing I saw.
The buildup was crazy.
On my Facebook feed, I was sick of seeing it.
A billion people are coming to Muncie, Indiana, and they're going to take everything and just destroy us all.
Descend upon us like a horde of locusts. And I don't
know. That didn't happen.
I don't know. Maybe it did. We were in farmland, so I don't know what it looked like.
Yeah, I would say the hype was a little more hyped than it actually turned out. But it wasn't bad. Don't get me wrong. We didn't have the traffic. We didn't have the craziness. We didn't. It was a good day.
Right.
It was a good day.
I think because Muncie is kind of a little further off, like, the 69 corridor and stuff like that. And, like, all of that, I think we were a little removed from it. I feel like people who are, like, right on I-69 or, like, 65 coming up from the south or whatever, I think those places got hit a lot harder than we did. So, anyway. That's
but it wasn't that bad. We didn't hear about terrible things or anything that like that in the news. So
no, and we saw lots of out-of-town people who were here over the weekend and stuff, so it was very nice.
And they had plenty of events on Friday, Saturday, Sunday, that first Thursday before that. I mean, it was a good day to be a Munsonian, I think.
Yes, and even like the smaller communities around, like Parker had their Darker and Parker Solarbration, which I love a good pun, so I am all about it.
Yeah, Randolph County.
I also love that. I think it's all. I love stupid little cheesy sayings, so it's right up my alley. So I think all of our little communities and bigger communities did a great job.
Yeah. So talking about our day, we witnessed the eclipse from Farmland, Indiana. I was on the front porch, or right off the front porch, I guess, looking up at the sky. You were off to the side because my parents came down.
Yeah, we invited your parents down. They came down, and just like plopped in the side yard. And I'm like, well, this isn't exactly where I planned
on
watching it.
Put on their glasses and looked up for 2 hours.
For 2 hours. Your mom never took her glasses off.
She was not going to burn out her retinas.
And she even's like, don't you think Audia needs her glasses on? I'm like, well, she's currently riding her bike.
Not even looking
at the sun. I think she's okay. So that was funny, but it was really neat. Like, it was cool.
The now 20-year-old, he had his girlfriend over, so they were in the other side yard looking up at the
They
sun
didn't want anything
with
to do
their
with
glasses.
Us.
No, they didn't want anything to do with
they
us.
They were canoodling on their own on the other side of the
I
house.
I had two cameras on tripods plus two other handheld cameras, so apparently I have four cameras.
Yes. And yourself, your, like, camera phone.
Camera phone, yes, which I didn't use.
Okay.
Probably should have, but I didn't.
I knew you wouldn't, but it was so funny. So, like, the morning of the eclipse, right? I see you over there at your desk, and you're, like, cutting, and it's like arts and crafts over there. You're cutting and pasting and taping lens protectors to all your various
cameras,
accoutrements and such. I was, like, getting them all on the tripods. I'm like, you're so cute over there.
Yeah, so I did a little prep work the morning of. I read a little bit of research and news stories that had come out and everything of what you're supposed to do.
Don't take it with its camera lens by itself. You will burn up your phone.
Oh, my gosh, yes. And so I had these four cameras, and on one of the cameras I had it's a 500 millimeter. It's a big honking.
It is a big honking lens.
Lens that is trash. It is the worst lens I own. I got it for $100, but it was supposed to get me close to the moon. The only problem is, however it's built, it doesn't put the moon fully in focus at any given moment in time. It's just trash.
Why do we have this lens?
Well, looking back and looking back at the eclipse, I shouldn't have taken that into my hands and tried to fiddle with it during the 3 minutes of the eclipse, which was so fast.
It must have been fast for you.
It was fast for me because I was doinking around with
four different cameras and settings cameras and everything.
Trying to take the photo. But there was a wow moment for me when right before, 30 seconds before, it gets really dark. It gets really dark. I look over at you guys in your chairs looking up at the sun. And visibly, I could see the light change on you guys.
Really?
So it got darker very quick. And then before I knew it, it was, oh, I heard that. Somebody said, oh, and I look up, and yes, it had happened. The
total eclipse of the moon land. Yes.
So that started the, oh my gosh, I've got to capture this now. Click, 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 click. Every camera, pop, pop, pop. And, of course, I had this big honking lens that wasn't working for me, and I'm so mad at it, I almost threw it. But in the end, I got the shots I was after.
Yes, you did. And I got the shots of you getting the shots. Because I like to take pictures of people, and Matt does not. Which I'll give it to you on this one, because it is the eclipse. It is the once-in-a-lifetime opportunity for us in Indiana. I will give you that. But I got pictures of you, and then of your parents watching, and all of that. I noticed your dad and you are wearing the same exact little farmer shirt.
Oh, yeah.
Your little red plaid shirts.
The plaid shirts on that day.
I'm just glad your dad put a shirt on, because for all the rest of the day, he didn't have a shirt on. So
that's the way my dad is.
That is how he is. But it was great. It was really, it was fun. I was making fun of it, because I was like, oh, it's an eclipse. Who cares? Blah, 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 blah.
But then it happened.
It happened. It was amazing. It got way cooler. I didn't expect it to get that cold and that dark, and it was very magical. I'll have to say, I still would not drive more than a state away to go see it, but it was good. I also don't want to go to the Grand Canyon, so I don't think those things are up my alley.
I know. I haven't seen the Grand Canyon.
Yeah, I know.
And I have not photographed the Grand Canyon.
Yes, I know.
You know who would love to do that?
Matt Howe would love to do that. The whole rest of our family would love to do that. Yes, I know. So we'll get to it eventually, but your pictures turned out amazing. You posted it on Facebook. All of your legion of fans lost their minds.
I have to say, right after the totality, I looked down at my phone, and it is my Facebook feed was just full of totality photos. And I was like, how in the world did they get them up there that quick?
Because they took them on their phones.
I know. It's just crazy. So
anyway,
how fast it happened.
You posted yours, and yes. So, how many shares did you get on that?
Well, here's the quick and dirty story.
Tell me the story.
So after everything happened, of course, I have to go to the computer. I have to offload everything. So I was like, oh, I want to make one of those I would call it a time lapse or
a composite
of the different phases of the moon going over the sun. So I did a quick one of those. And I was kind of rushed, and I wasn't in a good mood.
No, you were not in a good mood, because his whole
family. I don't know what happened to me from a mental perspective, but right after the totality, the magic was gone, I was in pressure mode. Oh, I have to get these photos online.
My fans are waiting.
Exactly. I had people.
I
know
they did. We're going to wait for Matt
Facebook,
Howe.
I'm waiting on those
photos.
I'm waiting on Matt Howe's photos.
We're not even going to try to take our own, because Matt Howe's going to post something amazing.
And I'm a people pleaser.
You
so
delivered.
I'm like, oh, yes, I have to do this.
Yeah. Well, then, all the rest of us had, we're like, Dad, I need this. Husband, I need that.
Oh, my gosh. They were a little bit needy, and I was a little bit pressurized. So I was not in a good mood.
He was grumpy.
But I had put something together, and I was like, oh, that's good enough. I'll just post that and move on. on with life. I'll do it better later.
I'll do a real better one later.
Yes. And my eyes were hurting because I didn't look directly. I can't say I looked directly at the sun or anything, but I took them off. I took them on. I was looking at all these cameras.
It's a lot of changes eye strain. And you know, dilation and such.
And here I am looking at a computer and I'm like, grr, I'm just grr. And yeah, so I just throw this photo out of the eclipse and it kind of blew up on me.
It exploded. Oh my goodness. You blew up the internet.
And I figure I was just first to market.
No.
Because other photographers have done the same thing or different variations of it, and they're all cool and very nice, and those people took their time. I just like, hey, I'm going to trash it out here. Boom, blows up on me. Everybody loves that photo. It's at the MuncieJournal.com right now.
Oh, yeah, it's everywhere. So, yes, you blew it up. I saw everybody was sharing it. That's all I saw on my feed was Matt's photo, shared by other people who wasn't Matt.
Yes. Thank you very much, everyone who did that.
We made fun of him, just so you know, because that's what we do in our family. But it's lovely, fabulous. Everybody's like, can I buy a picture of that? So we're working on a way to get that to happen. Matt will never tell you about it, but we're working on that.
We're working on something.
We'll see. So anyway, it was a great time. I really enjoyed it. It was once in a lifetime. I will not travel to go see it or anything like that, but it was really good. I'm glad we got to see it. And now I'm glad it's over.
Thanks for joining us for this episode of Gone Boss.
Be sure to check us out at GoneBoss.com or #GoneBoss.
We're on Instagram at GoneBoss2K or find us on Facebook just by searching Gone Boss.
If you like what you hear today, be sure to rate, review, and subscribe wherever you find your podcast.
Have a great rest of your day, and don't forget to tune in next week and find out who has Gone Boss.